You're listening to DraftKings Network.
God bless football, Billy Gill.
God bless football, Mikey A.
God bless football, Stugatz.
Thank you, Mikey A. Mike Golic is going to join us along with Brian Kelly. We can't have one without the other, meaning Brian Kelly will only come on if Golic is a part of the proceeding, so he will join. What, Billy? What happened?
Well, we've had Golic without Brian Kelly numerous times.
Oh, we can get Golic whenever we want. It's Kelly. He's the problem. Yeah. That guy. Yeah. But anyway, he's going to join us. We're looking forward to that. What's the matter? What happened?
Do many shows start by teasing a guest and then immediately saying he's the problem? Like calling your guest that you're trying to tease and have people stick around for a problem before they've even come on?
It was unfair of me. Brian Kelly is a great guy, okay? I hung out with him at Lake Tahoe a couple of years ago when he was playing golf out there for the tournament. He and Golic have a great relationship. The reality is we can only get Brian Kelly on the show if Golic is on with us. It's not a problem. It's just their friendship. That's all. So that's fair, Billy. That was fair criticism. Yeah.
Who would you say is the person that we will most definitely never get on again if your relationship with Golic sours?
Andy Reid.
Like who? Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Marcus yeah. Freeman.
Definitely Marcus Freeman, and that's
Frank
probably
Reich.
Billy.
Well,
we might never get him anyway.
Do we want him?
Well,
that was unfair. We caused him a lot of God bless football bad luck. Yeah, we caused him a lot of bad God bless football luck.
I don't have his number. I would love to have Frank on. Frank's got nothing going on. I mean. Actually, I'm certain someone signed Frank as a coordinator. I'm almost positive someone signed Frank Reich as an offensive coordinator. I could be wrong, though. But anyway, Brian Kelly, the LSU head coach, will join us. Mike Golic will join us. The draft is coming up in a couple of weeks. Billy, we had a debut last week of a great game, and I am told that we are going to play that game again, and I'm very excited for it.
Yep. Coming up later today, we have another edition of Or
yeah,
very exciting,
Billy. We have a problem. Me and Mikey A, we really have a problem. We think our team is good. This is the earliest I've ever thought the Jets are good, and I need someone to tell me they're going to be bad. I really do.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not going to do it.
Well, I don't want to tip my hand, but that may be maybe a little something to that. In not to say we can't talk about the Jets, but. Why do you think the Jets are going to be good? Because the Bills have gotten worse and the Dolphins have, you know, not gotten that much better.
So I think it's a combination of the Patriots are not good. The Bills have gotten worse, although there's still time left with the draft and whatever remains of this free agency period. And the Dolphins, they haven't signed Tua yet. They've lost some guys on defense. And the Jets have a really good roster. So if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, they have a good defense. They've kind of shored up the offensive line. They're expected to take Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, in the draft. It seems like the Jets don't have a hole in their team, okay? Like, they have all the bases covered with the exception of, can the 40-year-old recover from an Achilles injury and have a good year at quarterback? That's about it.
There, you know? There is an argument to make that if the Jets roster were to stay healthy, and it won't, like, let's just get that out of the way. It won't stay healthy.
Well, no one's will, right?
Yeah, but if they were to stay healthy, it's a top three or four roster on paper.
Right, on paper. Yeah. Unfortunately for the Jets, they have to go out on the field and play football games.
Yeah.
Well,
on a terrible field.
And MetLife, exactly field. Right. Yeah.
on a field that gets every
slab
that gets everyone injured. Billy hates that field.
I mean, I just like there's fields that like injure players at an alarming rate that should be looked into, and they're like, meh. But the World Cup's coming, fine. So let's change the field for the World Cup. That'll be fine.
Yeah. When is the World Cup coming, by the way?
26.
Really? Billy, you threw it out there. I was just trying to give the audience some information.
That's in the summer. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's save that for God Bless Football.
I'm sorry. My bad. I got him confused. I did. Billy, I have some bad news for you.
Oh, no.
And I'm putting you in a bad spot. But we'll never get OJ on with K-Funk and Mojo. And OJ has passed away, Billy.
Yeah, that was probably the strangest way to deliver that news. You could.
Well, I know how badly you wanted OJ on, and we kept asking Metalark and the folks at Metalark. They weren't really into us having OJ on for a fantasy segment or gambling advice, and now we'll never get OJ.
That's true, yes. OJ has passed.
Yeah.
Complicated legacy for OJ Simpson.
I will say
having
this.
OJ on is, got it.
Yep. I will say this, since we're a football show, from a football standpoint, O.J. Simpson was one of the greatest football players to ever play. And what happened yesterday is very complicated to deal with. In my opinion, I'm not certain it's a life that should be celebrated. In fact, I will say it's probably not a life that should be celebrated. But I will say that he is one of the greatest football players to ever play. And as a young kid growing up, watching the NFL, he was one of the guys that sucked me in because his athleticism and his ability on the field was mesmerizing. He was one of the all-time greats. So I think at the very least, what we can say and should say are condolences to his family, to his daughters, to his kids, because everything that happened with OJ after his playing career and before, for that matter, had absolutely nothing to do with them. And so they're grieving the death of their father. And we can leave it right there. We will never have O.J. Simpson on God Bless Football. Anyway, with that said, Billy, do we want to play the game here? Can we play the game?
Ooh, I'm ready
to
play the
game. I have a top five as well, if you'd like it. I know that was clunky. It was a clunky way for us to get to it. But I felt like on a football show, we should at least say something about O.J. Simpson.
All right. So you want to play mm-hmm or mm-mm?
I do.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's the first one. Aaron Rodgers recently appeared on the I Can Fly podcast, and he said he initially thought his career was over. Quote, "I was really thinking this is it. You don't come back from this injury," Rodgers said during an interview. "I had this incredible offseason experience in a new city and a new town and new teammates, a new organization, and an owner for the first time. And I was really falling back in love with a game that I first fell in love with when I was 5 years old. And it was absolutely beautiful and special and deep and rich and yummy and just incredible. Aaron Rodgers leading the Jets on a yummy playoff run." Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Oh, God. I don't know what to do. I want to say mm-mm, but I
yummy
feel
playoff
like,
run.
Yeah. A yummy playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
A delicious playoff run. Mm-hmm. What is a playoff run? Is it getting to the AFC Championship game? Is that a playoff run? Because that means if you win the division, that means you just have to win a game to get to the AFC Championship game. And that would be yummy. I mean,
why don't we say one playoff win? Would one playoff win be yummy enough for you guys?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
No.
Two playoff wins?
I've suffered for too long to be satisfied with one playoff win.
Wait, hold on. So now he's asking a question, Mikey. Two playoff wins. Now that depends. Are they a wild card team or have they won the division? Because two playoff wins puts us in the Super Bowl.
Yummy.
Up to us.
Well, right. No, that's only if they have no, there's only one team that gets a bye.
Well, that's true. You're right about that. Do we get the bye? No, we don't get the bye. The Chiefs probably get the bye. The Ravens.
Well, hold on a
bye.
Second. In this scenario, okay, hold on. In this scenario, you win two playoff games and you make it to the AFC Championship.
At the very least, right.
Still not yummy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, that tasted bad.
He didn't want to do it.
That tasted bad. Mm-hmm. It does.
So we'll take the AFC Championship game because we haven't really experienced AFC Championship games too many times in our lifetime. We had it 2 years, back-to-back years with Sanchez, 97 against the Broncos. We had it back in the 80s, I think, when Shula soaked the field down at the Orange Bowl. He cheated, is what Don Shula did. The Dolphins went on to win that game. So, yes, we will take an AFC Championship game, Mike. We can't get that greedy. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. No, to clarify. If you don't have a bye, you will accept the AFC Championship game. If you have a bye, you have to win the AFC championship.
If the Jets have the one seed, they better go to the Super Bowl. Yes.
Wow.
They won't get the one seed. But if they have it, they better go to the Super
Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We have lofty expectations, Billy. It's why I'm asking someone to talk me and Mikey off the ledge.
No, we're just owed. We're just owed it, okay? We're owed. We're owed after 13 years of watching them not make the playoffs. For them to get the one seed, yes, we're owed the Super Bowl.
And the guy we're relying on to deliver what it is that we are owed, because I agree with you, is Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Not a bad person to rely on.
Yeah, not a great person either. So, if he's healthy, right, he's great. Yes.
Ready for another one?
Oh, of course.
The Eagles and the Packers will play week one of the NFL season on a Friday night in Brazil. We're going to get the traditional season opener with the defending Super Bowl champions on Thursday night. This will just be an extra Friday game week one, and it'll be the first time since 1970 that the NFL has played a Friday night game in week one. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm to Friday night football week one from Brazil.
Hmm. Mikey?
I mean...
Eagles home game.
It's an Eagles home game?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Is it like summer hot in Sao Paulo in like late August, early September? Because if it is, no thank you. Mm-mm.
Well, you're not going to be there.
Yeah, what do you care? Yeah, but... I'm going, uh-huh. Because here's what I love.
Hold on a second.
Wait, he's confusing things. What do you care about the weather? Like, you're going to Brazil.
Wait,
I mean.
Hold on a second. Let me not just flatly say you're not going to be there. What if we told them we wanted to go cover this game in Brazil? Like, we don't, like, keep opening night. People will be covering that. Send us to Brazil to cover the Eagles and the Packers, which is a good game, by the way.
Yes, it's a great game. Are you kidding me? Send us to Brazil. I'm in. I'm good with that.
Okay.
You want to go to Brazil?
Yeah, you know.
Now, do we get home in time for the Sunday slate of football? Because I need to be home in time for that, you know?
Let me tell you something. If I'm going to Brazil, I'm not going to Brazil for a day, okay? Like, that's just how that's going to work.
I know, but Mikey, so I can't miss opening weekend. It's like the Super Bowl. It's better than the Super Bowl.
Friend, the world exists with satellites and such that you can watch all these games still. That's, you'll be fine.
That's fair. I've got the Dead and Company in Mexico. Watch playoff games right in my room. Yeah. So you're right. You're right about that. For me, I love opening weekend. You get a Thursday night game. You get a Friday night game. You get all day Sunday. You get a Sunday night game and a Monday game. I'm good with that. And Saturday is college football because it's already begun. Well, I'm good.
Week two or week one, because college has that weird week zero situation.
I think college starts 1 week before the end. So yeah, week one of the NFL season, I think you get week one. You're right. College zero, please. Week zero, please.
It's week one. Just everybody takes week one off. It's fine. We get it, college.
So double mm-hmms for us.
All right. Well, depending on the weather for Mikey, apparently.
What?
All right, our final one for this week. Bill Belichick has been spending the offseason participating in coaching clinics. He visited the University of Washington and also participated in a clinic in Nebraska. On Pro Football Talk this week, Mike Florio and our friend Chris Sims suggested that Bill Belichick should go around on a coaching clinic tour and charge large sums of money to allow coaches to pick his brain. Florio said owners should pay Bill Belichick seven figures to share his ideas on the new kickoff rule. The idea that Bill Belichick would be a consultant for a hire, jumping from team to team, charging seven figures to teach all of them the exact same thoughts he has on the kicking rule. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I have some news on Belichick in a second here. I do. It's not, you know.
He's joining us to talk about lacrosse again? Or
Well, listen, you'll find out in a second here. But Mikey,
Sure. Let him do it. Go make that money as long as he's going to get some advice on how to pick players.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm with Mikey. Go make the money. Go scare the daylights out of coaches. Just your presence scares them. Right. So it's a big for me. I also have top five coaches that have the most Bill Belichick on them in April.
Oh, wow.
Bill Belichick is code for pressure.
You want to do that in the last? You want to do that in the last segment of the show? Keep some people hanging around.
Yes, and I will also tease the fact that I actually do have Bill Belichick news about where he'll be this upcoming weekend.
Wow,
let's go to Golic first.
A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't: the great taste of Miller Lite.
You know, another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. And I remember it like it was yesterday, sitting back in my dad's pickup truck, me and my dad, Pappy, it's my granddad, I used to call him, fishing at the pond. I remember Dad and Pappy going back and forth saying, what is it about this new Miller Lite? Is it that it's less filling, or is it the great taste? What I wouldn't give to go back to those times. But you know one thing that Miller Lite does? Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/GBF. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Lite Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
The way I'm going to start, Coach, we appreciate you joining us, is I am right off the bat going to apologize for the other guys that are going to be asking you questions here. See, this is the trouble with being associated with Mike Yeh and Billy and Stu. Wow. Is they use my name to get the big time named coaches and players out there. And then I come on and I do this to you. I apologize to Andy Reid right off the bat, because they will say something or ask you something stupid. And I would just appreciate it if you wouldn't lump me in with them.
I have to do reporters all the time. So well, I'm used to this.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
We'll try and behave, Coach. We promise. Yeah. We'll try.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You'll try. So first off, before we go forward with this team, I mean, it is something we're used to with LSU, even before you got there. And certainly while you're there, the athletes that you get, you're going to have three players, Jaden Daniels and Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, in the first round. So just to talk about those guys for a moment and the talent level on that team as it keeps turning over year after year.
Well, there's, you know, obviously you just turn the film on, you know, those are easy guys to watch, right? I don't know that it takes very long to, you know, say these are, you know, first round draft picks. You know, Daniel's year was Heisman Trophy worthy. His ability to take over a game, you know, in my 33 years, I don't know that I've had a quarterback that just can change the complexion of a game so quickly, whether he threw it or ran it. Nabers is explosive, whether he's down the field or catching it. And after the catch, his explosiveness and just an ultra competitive player. And then Brian Thomas, a guy that can stretch the field, has length, and really elusive after the catch. So these are three legitimate first round draft picks that can change the look of any NFL franchise. So, you know, my only regret is that we didn't have a defense that could meet, you know, the talent level that we had on offense.
Yeah, I want to get into the defense. I know you have a new defensive coordinator, but also, listen, you've been doing this coaching thing a long time, and you've seen the changes along the way and the changes now with the portal and NIL. The one thing I wonder about, I'm looking at it at Notre Dame as well. Notre Dame had Sam Hartman last year and Riley Leonard this year. I remember watching Jaden Daniels as a true freshman at ASU and now transferring and going and playing for you. Where are we in the, I don't know if the word can be used anymore, development of a quarterback through a system? Because a lot of times they develop and they leave, or as you try and develop someone, you get in an older player coming in from another school to take over the program. So how do you balance that?
Well, it's the million-dollar question as to how you deal with, you know, transfers, generally speaking, you know, within your program. And you know, the way we're going to construct our program here is that we have great talent in the state of Louisiana, and they want to play at the flagship university at LSU. So the best way to do it is to recruit the state of Louisiana, engage the players, build relationships, develop them here so you can retain them. And so that's the best way to handle it and get them to water the grass here and make it greener here so it's not greener somewhere else. And so that's the only way that I can figure this thing out, so you're not in and out of the transfer portal each and every year. So develop your own players, develop the quarterback. Garrett Nussmeier is going to be our starter. He's been here since a freshman. And last year, you know, he had a great game in the SEC West Championship game. He could have been in the transfer portal and maybe one of the most desired players, and he stayed. And so I think that that's a signal that, you know, there are still some of those guys. He's a quarterback's son, you know, and he knows the game, and he's going to get an opportunity now to run this football team. So that's how we're going to handle it. I think some others are going to, you know, go through free agency every year, but that's how we're going to handle it.
Coach, I'm wondering, just going back to your players who are going to be drafted this year, what do you say to them? How do you prepare them for what they're about to embark on in terms of the draft and the NFL?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And, you know, what I have seen this year, more so than any other year, because of the transparency that's out there relative to social media, there's so many experts. Look, there's more misinformation and disinformation about players than the Cold War. I mean, it's crazy. And so I've just told our players, listen, talk about yourself, you know, stay in the moment, you know, and really be humble about having an opportunity to be in the NFL and really keep it that simple. Other than that, you know, for me, your tape is going to show a lot. And then, you know, your one-on-one interviews, how you handle yourself, you know, be respectful. I mean, all the things that a parent would tell their son, and, you know, I think if you do those things, you can't step in it. And I think that sometimes we make this more complicated than it really needs to be.
Boy, I could not agree more. And you got surefire guys in the three we mentioned. I know they're trying to make some stuff out about Malik Nabers now, but this is lying season. It's when everything comes out. It's crazy to listen to so much. But how about these guys are a given where they're going to go, but how about the player that comes to you as a coach? They get a draft grade and maybe it's not as high as they want, but they still think about leaving. That's got to be a more interesting conversation, right? Because obviously you would probably like them back on your team, but it's also a chance to go to the NFL. How do you weigh that of where their grade is and what they should do?
Yeah, so it's a great question. Like, and we try to, you know, be, again, as helpful as we can. I bring in Scott Pioli, who's a former GM, who does a full grading of all of our players that are draft eligible. So they have a third party evaluation for them. We bring in former players and tell them, listen, just so you know, this is really hard. If you're a fifth rounder or a fourth rounder, you got to go take somebody's job and they may have a family and they're feeding their kids. It's not easy. And so just understanding all of those dynamics and then what does the money look like? After you know, move into an apartment in New York City, maybe, and you start to pay taxes and your players' dues, it's maybe a little bit better if you stay here. So I think we just try to give them all the information, and that the NFL is not a developmental league. It's you better be ready to play. So sometimes that works, Mike, and sometimes it doesn't. And so we can't just, you know, we want to give them as much information and give it all to them so they can make an informed decision. But after that, then support them the best we can.
And sometimes that fourth rounder may make more money going back to school than going.
That's crazy, Mike. That is crazy where kids will have that decision to make. Should I stay in college because I'm making more here or go to the NFL?
It is wild. And yeah. I guess that's the next question for you in the evolution of coaching from what it was to what it is now. How much does this feel like professional sports now than collegiate sports with having the amount, the number that you need to know, what can you pay a guy when you go sit in someone's living room? Now it's how much before, you know, taking care of my kid, there's money involved, and how much has this changed to like more of a pro level situation?
Well, if we had a salary cap, I'd be okay with it. But there's no salary cap. I mean, that's the issue, really. I mean, if we all were operating under, you know, the same guidelines, at least we could, you know, okay, this is what we've got. But that's really the biggest issue. But look, the parallels, you're right. I mean, Look, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, they're all looking for that rookie signing bonus. You know, we're out there recruiting seniors in high school. They're looking for that freshman signing bonus. The transfer portal, he's looking for a free agent bonus. And then the guys on your roster, they want retention bonuses. So, look, it parallels. NIL money is broken down into the three categories that the NFL is paying out. And we're doing the same thing. Unfortunately, we're doing without a salary cap. And that's where it makes it just absolutely crazy, because you just don't know, you know, what the numbers are from year to year. So, you know, college football is in a great place. We know there's a lot of money. The problem is nobody knows what this is going to look like in a couple of years. And if anybody does, please let me know. But we just have to figure out how to cap this so we can move forward.
Yeah, agreed. The game isn't hurt. The game is still as popular as it ever was, but everything around it is getting a little bit crazy. It's actually, these players somewhat have it better than the NFL. They don't have to deal with, you know, a number of years on a contract. They can do it year by year. It's they're a free agent every year. It's pretty wild. As far as your team now, you know, as you just a little bit of spring ball left in this, as we mentioned, you get a new D coordinator and Blake Baker and guys that he has brought in. So that's an area that was of concern. So, and as we mentioned, you get top athletes there. How will Blake now kind of dissect this defense into performing better this year?
Yeah, we're still in need of recruiting. You know, I think LSU has always been known for, you know, having great defensive players. We're still in the need of developing and recruiting on the defensive side of the ball. I think we're going to be very good again on the offensive side of the ball. But that has flipped, and there's not a balance within the program right now where we have the same kind of players. I think we're going to get there in short order. But I think we're, you know, from a recruiting cycle, we need to do another really good job this year and next recruiting on the defensive side of the ball. I think Blake and the staff that we've assembled will do that. I think the sum will be greater than any one of the parts on this football team. I think it'll be a much more balanced team than it was last year. As you know, we were the top offense in the country, but defensively we were not very good. And so I think we'll have a more balanced football team that can compete in the SEC, but we're still needing to recruit on the defensive side of the ball.
Coach, we saw Coach Saban step away this offseason, and one of the things that he said was that him and his wife discussed, and they were like, what are we doing anymore? A lot of the players are just in it for the money. They don't seem to have the passion. I guess as NIL and the transfer portal become more of a thing, one, does it change the way you feel about coaching at all? And two, does it change the way you recruit? Do you go in and look at a guy and say, you know what, this is someone that's coming here but may not be here in another year. Let me go after someone else.
Yeah, I think if I did, I probably would retire as well. I would, quite honestly. Look, this is my 33rd year, and my why is player development and developing players and the relationships with players. And I can tell a parent, look, I can help develop your son be a better husband, a better father, a better technically and tactically. I can develop him as a football player. I can help him graduate. I don't know what he's worth. I don't know what that number is. I can't give you that. I don't know what that is. I've got 33 years of doing it, but I don't know what he's worth. But I can do all those other things for him. And so when it gets down to it from that perspective, if it gets to where I can't just develop kids and do it in the manner that I have talked about, where we recruit freshmen and develop them, then I don't know if I'll go to West Palm Beach, but I'll be on a beach too.
Yeah, I was going to say the younger coaches are kind of used to this, guys who have been around a while. And you said it, until they get some more guardrails of where this is going to go, this has got to be tough for guys that have had to cross over into this. So one kind of outside the box here a little bit, you were coaching at Grand Valley State, at Central Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, now at LSU. Different food things down there. What food have you grown accustomed to outside of, I hope, some beignets?
Always thinking with your stomach.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to have beignets. You know, I think for me, originally from Massachusetts, I always loved seafood. And then, you know, you end up in the Midwest and, you know, the seafood is paltry at best, right? Unless you're like, you know, freshwater, you know, fish. But getting that flavor back, you know, with the Gulf here has been awesome. Any kind of fish with etouffee is terrific. The food here is pretty simple. It's just all in the sauces to kind of make it a little bit more of a flair. But it's been great. We really love it. They love football. They love family. Baton Rouge is about as Catholic as South Bend. It's amazing. So it's been really a great transition. The food is amazing. So I have to work out even harder to keep the weight off.
Golic, have you sent Coach Kelly any alcohol? Because, well, Coach, are you interested in some alcohol branded by the Golic family? Like,
would you...
Even know he was it. He's so diversified now. It would be, you know, it's amazing.
We just started the with our Golic Family Foundation getting involved with a sipping cream. So you never know where this is going to go.
It looks interesting, Mike. I mean,
hey, you know, I mean, I'm up for. Listen, I'm Irish, so you know, I do have that gene.
There you go. It's good, and it's good for you, and it's good for me and my family, if you know what I mean. So
the foundation, Mike. Listen, the foundation.
You know, you can always have it with a couple of dogs on the back on a golf cart. It all works.
How's your golf game? Is golf game still going on down there?
Yeah, this pesky day job kind of gets me a bit.
Are you going to Tahoe this summer, Coach?
No, I you know, it's much more about for me now with the way things are in recruiting. You're here all June. July now needs to be, you got to chill. And so recruiting now, you got to use the whole month of June with official visits. So it's so crazy. You just need to recharge the battery in July.
So going back to the recruiting, like the early signing period, and I believe in December, and then the normal signing period, should that change? There's talk of that possibly changing. Do you think that is something that could help?
I don't want to move the signing day up to June, because then I think what you're going to see, Mike, is kids opting out of their senior year. I don't want to see that. I want to see a kid play his senior year of high school football, and you know, he gets an ankle injury and now he's out 6 weeks because he's already got a scholarship, you know, committed to a particular school. So I'm a little leery of that June signing period. And then, you know, for me, I think we're in a pretty good position right now with where it is. And let them have the early signing period in December, and then we'll figure it out from there.
A couple of quick ones, and we'll get you out of here, Coach. Who wins the Masters this weekend?
You know, I'm going off the board a little bit. I think if he just would go with one swing thought, I'm going with Victor Hovland. He's been kind of messing around with like 19 different swing thoughts, but he can kill this course. And if he's got some patience in him, if he's patient, I think he's got a chance to win.
Have you golfed there?
I'm sure I have. I've been enough to play a little bit at Augusta.
So I've never played there. If I were to play there, would it be frowned upon if I had a beer and a cigar in my hand at all times? Is that frowned upon there?
Well, let's just put it this way. It'd be the last time you played there.
Oh. You want to take me instead, Coach? I mean, what do you think?
Absolutely. I'd take the whole group. We'd make it a foursome.
Coach, are you serious?
No.
No, he's not. Not taking you anywhere, Stu.
What do you mean, Mike? I've been on good behavior here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and it's killing you. I know.
Have questions.
Yeah. Golic, help me out. The eclipse, Coach. How'd you spend it?
It was cloudy here, and I said that. My wife goes, "Well, that's the whole point. Yeah. That's the whole point. Right. You're missing the point." She's just chalked it up to me being a dumb football coach. I said, "Well, I was in the office, so I missed it."
Right. Dumb football coach who plays Augusta. I mean, geez.
Yeah, it works.
Where do you think Jaden – I know you're going to say number one overall, but assuming that doesn't happen, Washington, New England, what do you think the best fit for Jaden is?
You know, I really believe that both of the – you know, I mean, it seems as though Chicago's made a decision. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I don't have any firsthand information. But I think either one of those are a great fit. I think Washington and New England are both, you know, great landing spots for him. And again, look, you know, Drake May's a great quarterback, but I think Jaden has that ability to change the complexion of a game. He's a veteran guy. He's experienced. He's been in the SEC. He's really, I think, ready to go in and play. I think, you know, if you're pushing me on this, I think he goes two.
Yeah, I think he goes two as well. And while there are no perfect players out there, we see his upside. What do you think are one or two things that he needs to get better at the next level?
Well, I think more than anything else, the continued maturation in the pocket. He's made great progress there. I just think, you know, being in the pocket for him is one of those things where you don't want to see somebody just all of a sudden I've arrived. I think just more presence in the pocket. You know, everybody can benefit from being more calm and collected in the pocket, but he made great progress in year two. I would continue to see that same kind of progress. He's up to 200 and, you know, 10 pounds.
I think, yeah.
Continue to build a coat of armor on him because he's going to get hit. I think sliding would be a good thing. Learning.
Yes. How to yep. Yep.
That would also benefit him, but I think he's in a really good position. I think he knows all those things.
Which made you more nervous, coaching before a national championship game or stepping up to the first tee for the first time at Augusta?
Mm. Ooh. it's even crazy that those two rival each other.
I know.
Yeah.
That you're thinking about it. Yes.
The problem is in pregame, I saw the other team that we were playing against. you know, it's always a great nervousness, you know, when you're playing in a game of football. It's a nervousness that you've been waiting for, right? It's the anticipation, right?
Yeah.
That you prepared your team and you're going to go out. Augusta, you go out there and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, that's a different kind of feeling. So that one, you just want to get it in the fairway and get walking.
Did you?
Your first drive there, did you put it in the fairway?
I think I did. There, you know, the bunker is reachable for many of the hacks like me that they put the tees. So I've been out of that bunker on one, on the right, a few times, but, it's, you know, the great thing about Augusta for all of us, you know, that are, you know, higher handicaps, it is very generous fairways. So for guys like us, it's not as intimidating off the tee because they're so generous, the fairways. It's the green complexes. It's when you get up there and you're on the wrong part of the green, you got no chance of three putting. No chance of three putting. That's the difference.
Right. Mike, you notice he said a few times, huh? You notice that?
Yeah, listen, that would be it for me, the greens. I did the greens at Pinehurst. It makes you want to throw your putter. I mean, yes. you get there and think you're going to have a good
Mike,
score.
Mike, you did that at Tahoe. I mean.
I know I did. I didn't want to bring that up either. Leave me alone. Let's let the man go. He's got football.
All right, Coach, get out of here. We look forward to our round at Augusta with you. We appreciate the offer. Good luck to your kids coming up in the draft, and good luck this season, of course. Hopefully we'll speak to you before then. You're on good behavior, Mike.
You did a good job, guys. You did a good job. I appreciate that very much. You did not embarrass me.
Mike.
Thank you.
Mike, you noticed that. The number one bunker a few times. I've been in that a few times.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Has golfed Augusta more than a few times.
I know. I would sleep in that bunker. I would live in that bunker.
Mm. So you've never golfed there, Stu?
No. Can you get it done for me, Mike, please?
Listen, I can't even get out. How the hell you want me to get it done for you?
Goaling.
And now, listen, now that I learned that you can't have a beer and a cigar,
you don't
my
go?
God.
Okay, well, I'll take your place. So here's what we know. Kelly is like a member there, okay? I mean, he lives in that first tee. He lives on the fairway in that bunker, Mike. So maybe you make a call to Kelly. Mm-hmm. Kelly makes a call to Augusta. Me and Kelly go play Augusta with my dad. What do you think?
Wow, that'd be nice. That would be nice.
And you, of course.
Well, I have a question. What if it's down to Mike and your dad? to make this happen.
So the only way I'm going.
Yeah, it's you. Brian right. Kelly's the one inviting you.
So it's Brian Kelly.
But Brian has a friend who's going
to
be there.
Well, he has a member. You have to have a member. So the a member has to be there.
He's a member.
So it's he's a member. So it's Kelly, a member. And then Kelly says, well, two. And I have to choose between Golic.
And your dad.
You better take your dad or I'll club you with a seven.
But if he takes his dad, then he may be out of this, Mike.
Well, the better way to do it is if Kelly says to me, I only got room for two and I want Golic to be one of them. You're asking me because I've always promised my dad the first time I play that course, it's not going to be with Brian Kelly or Mike Golic. It's going to be with you. Yeah. And so what Billy is doing is pushing me into a corner here where he's making me choose, go against my word to my dad. And I would do it. I would play with Golic.
I would think. The way I would do it, it would be Brian Kelly, the member he's with, and then it would be be me and Stu's dad.
Wow,
that would be the foursome.
I like that.
Huh? Stu would be out.
How about this, two guys?
Done.
Would you give up
How
your
about my
spot?
Dad and Gojo?
Would you give up your spot so that your dad could golf with Golic and Brian Kelly?
Oh, hell no. I'm joking. Wow. Yes, of course I would. Get out of here.
Yes, he would.
What I would ask Mike to do is, hey, Brian, you know what? Set us up with the member and take a day off. Me, Mr. Gotts, and Stu Gotts are going to go. Okay, that's
I mean, people got to have fun there, right? I mean, we're hacks playing there. I mean, it would bum me out if everybody was so serious there and not realizing, you know what? We're not on the tour. We're not going to be shooting 70. You know, so what, why can't we go out and enjoy it and have a little bit of fun?
Because it's Augusta, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. No fun allowed.
Got my issues with some of those people at Augusta. So the worst thing about the tournament to me.
We're trying to get in there.
Yeah, Mike, come on.
I know we are. Okay, but the worst thing about is the fact that U.S. Open, you see, I mean, 80 hours of it, yes. Right? Masters, you don't.
Right.
That's what I don't like. I wish we would see more of it.
You get it their way, you don't get it. That's
I know, it's exactly right. And they're in a position to be able to do that. And I've always said, if you have the power and the leverage, you know, use it. Use it to your advantage.
It's so not a place for you. Rules, no beers, no cigars.
Well, like he said, I could play there once, right? So I'd get that one time in and say I experienced
it. But would you make it 18 before they're like, Mr. Golic, listen.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not an ass. I mean, I'm not going to chunk it and not fill my divots, and I'm not going to walk all over the green. I know how to play golf, but I'd like to enjoy a beer. I mean, they got to serve some, you know, drinks out there.
I mean, I went to the Masters with my dad a couple of years ago. I had 15 beers. They have beer there, Mike. You'll be fine.
So, I mean, if you're playing, though, so if you're playing, they got to, right? I don't know if they have, you know, the cart going around selling stuff. I don't know how it works there. But, I mean, you got to be able to have a beer, and if you're going to have a beer, why not have a cigar? It's not like I'm going to be screaming my ass off and yelling four and hitting into people. I know how to play the game respectfully,
right.
But I like to play the game a little buzz. Is that wrong?
Listen, I'll be getting high as a kite if we can make it happen.
I mean, I saw the other day, I was watching a video how they removed the weeds from the grass at Augusta.
I'll replace it.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, how about the sand? The sand isn't even like real sand. I saw a story on that the other day. It's ridiculous how that place is manicured. It's beautiful. It's very cool. I would feel bad of how I may hack up that course, unfortunately.
I'm imagining you, Brian Kelly, in a golf cart. It's a great question, by the way. I don't know if they have a cart that comes around like most golf courses. In fact, if I had to guess, I would guess no. But me, you, and Kelly in a couple of golf carts cutting it up, and I just rip out a big fatty. I mean,
oh man, you would probably be on a time thing there before somebody came out and said something to you. So we'll see. I did get invited back to Tahoe, so I am going back there.
Very nice.
And I'm going to try and be I'm never going to be in contention there. I want to be the most improved golfer from year to year.
Excellent.
So that's my goal this year.
Do we have a date with me caddying again, or what do you think?
God, I hope not. You were just horrible. You wanted me to use a putter off the tee box.
I mean, the driver wasn't working that day.
I mean, granted, when you offered that, I did not drive the ball well, but I think that was your fault in getting in my head, acting like I should use the putter.
Right. I'm supposed to be helping you out. It's on me.
Yes. Yeah.
You guys think you're going to see Travis Kelce there this year?
It's a great question.
I think he may have graduated from the Tahoe tournament.
He was phenomenal the night before His dad was there as well. I got to talk with him for a little bit, but they do a karaoke thing, and they, whatever person wants to go up and karaoke, and he was phenomenal doing that.
But it's a good question by Billy, Mike, because Travis might be too big of a celebrity now to show. It's going to be funny if Mahomes is there without Kelsey.
I don't know if he's too big a celebrity. I mean, I get who he's dating, but these are some monster. I'm not including myself in this, obviously. These are monster celebrities that look to go to this thing year after year. So I'm going to say he's not too big of a celebrity for that himself.
No, you're right. Timberlake's there. Miles Teller is there.
Wait, who's he dating? Who's he dating?
Oh, God.
Well, she's not going to be there. No. I assure you of that.
She is not going to be there.
No, but I will
Unless
tell you
she
this.
She enjoys Tahoe. Who knows?
I think Mike is right, though. Travis has told me on several. Now, life has changed for Travis in a big, big way. Yep. But he has told me in years past that event, like, it is the number one thing on his calendar. He looks forward to that more than anything on his calendar.
Yeah.
More than football.
That thing's just
the guy that caddied for me, who actually lives in Arizona some of the year, and I've been golfing a lot with him. He has told me, because he's caddied there for years, he has said guys that have like placed in the top five are worried the next year they're not going to get the invite back. They said everybody just waits and hopes they get that invite.
Right.
And God forbid something. I am literally going to plan any surgery I have of joint replacement, shoulder or knee, around this tournament so I can make sure I'm available if I get invited. Because someone like me, if I get invited, keep getting invited, like this is year two, thank God I was sweating that out.
Right.
But if I keep, and I say, you know what, I can't go because of this or that, that's
don't
it.
Don't do it, Mike.
I won't get invited again.
No, keep going back until they tell you, until they kick you
out,
Mike.
All yes. Right. I don't know how many I got in. This may be the last one for all I know, but I'm going.
I wasn't aware of top five guys like worried about being invited back.
Yes.
Right.
He said it would be amazing.
These I know there's a top five guy that no one wants invited back. I can tell you that much. I'll say the name. Tony Romo.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Look at you.
He takes it too seriously. He does. It's not Augusta.
Well, I mean, I got to believe, you know, most of those guys that are up near the top certainly take it a little more serious than the rest of us, because, you know, they're actually playing for something. They play the game a lot more. I felt bad last year. I forgot who was Steph playing in the last round, and somebody yelled.
No, it was Marty Fish. Someone yelled with Marty Fish in his backswing. He was about to win it. Yep. Yes.
That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible.
Because Marty's one of those guys who takes that thing very, very seriously. Like, yes. He's training year round for that thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And those people there, obviously, they think everybody is on the tour and they all are funneling the fairway. And we're all, because again, that was my biggest fear, is hitting someone. And I remember Aaron Rodgers and Barkley telling me, don't worry. These people all line up there. They don't move. So they get hit. They get hit. That's the way it goes. It's unreal. You try and tell them to back up and they don't want to back up. Now, a lot of it's alcohol induced. And
well, now you're realizing why Augusta doesn't allow alcohol on the course. Mike.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Ah, well.
God bless golf.
God bless golf and football, I guess.
And we're back. So, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. The entire time that we had Golic and Brian Kelly on, I was thinking about the Belichick news. I don't know why we teased news essentially like 30 minutes. And also, I was trying to put together your list of coaches, the Belichick coaches.
It's top five coaches that have the most Bill Belichick on them in April. And Bill That's Belichick it. Is code for pressure. Yeah. Which one Got do you it. Want first here, Billy? Do you want the news or do you want... I think we should do the top five first.
Okay, sure.
All right. Just keep teasing that news, okay?
All right. I mean, I suspect I know the answer to the news if I had a guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll let you guess when I'm done with the top five. Mikey, I love that I asked you a question that answered my own question. I mean,
yeah.
I saw it on your face. I did. Yeah. Okay. Top five coaches who have the most Bill Belichick on them in April. You guys ready?
Okay. Sure.
Number five, Robert Saleh. Look at that. Stop acting like a little kid around the quarterback. Just stop doing it, okay? Act like an adult, because Bill Belichick doesn't care who his quarterback is. He tried to run Tom Brady out of town in New England 4 years before he should have. So Bill Belichick is not going to let Aaron Rodgers run that organization. Robert Saleh is. If that continues, Jets get off to a bad start. Salah out, Belichick in. How about that?
Okay.
Number four, Matt Eberflus. All the pieces are in place. NFC team. Belichick has said, I think he would prefer to go to the NFC over the AFC. I don't know why he said it, but he said it. I'm not even certain he did say it. But all the pieces are in place for that Bears team. And if Eberflus gets off to a bad start, Eberflus out, Belichick in. Number three, Nick Sirianni. Loose lips sink ships. And the Eagles got a lot of loose lips. And you know who hates a sinking ship? A man who loves the Navy, Bill Belichick. He doesn't want ships to sink. He wants ships to sail. Okay. What, Billy? What am I doing?
You're nothing. I'm just keep I'm going. Taking it all in. Yeah.
Okay. So Belichick, if God forbid, and if I'm Belichick, I would attend every single Eagles game this year.
1 minute.
Just sit in the stands and let people cheer your name. If Sirianni gets off to a bad start, Sirianni out, Belichick in. Number two, Sean McDermott.
Just go to number one. We don't need to
number
explain.
Number one, okay. Brian Daboll, because we all know Belichick would love to end his career with the New York Giants.
We all know that.
Yes, everyone knows that.
Okay. Everybody knows that. All right, you had 30 seconds to break your news here. Can I give you my guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
He's going to be at whatever lacrosse game you're going to be at.
Boom! How'd you know? No,
just
he's
a feeling.
Get him on the show.
He's supposed to be at the lacrosse game that I am going to this weekend, and I will do everything I can to make sure Bill Belichick is on God Bless Football next week.
Picking games.
Yeah. Sure. That's every week. Gonna work.
Talking lacrosse.
God Bless Football. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't? The great taste of Miller Lite. You know another thing that hasn't changed? Is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975 and we still haven't settled it. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Sitting back of my dad's pickup truck. Me, my dad, Pappy. It was my granddad, I used to call him. Fishing at the pond. I remember Dad and Pappy going back and forth saying, what is it about this new Miller Lite? Is it that it's less filling or is it the great taste? What I wouldn't give to go back to those times. But you know one thing that Miller Lite does? Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/GBF. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Lite Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.